Good morning. First of all, I want to give honor and praise to Pastor Kevin for the opportunity that he has given me this morning to speak with you. I have decided this morning to continue in Mark, continue the journey that he started. And this morning we will be talking about the parable that Jesus gave us, the parable of the growing seed. And this morning we'll be coming from, our main sermon will be coming from Mark 4, verses 26 to 29. And he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground. He sleeps and rises night and day, and the seeds sprout and grow. He knows not how. The earth produces by itself, first the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts in the sickle, because the harvest has come. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you continue to bless us. We ask that you bless this word this morning, dear Father. We pray, dear Lord, that your word may fall on fertile ground. We pray this morning, dear Father, that you remove me, dear Father, and let your word permeate each and every heart that hears it. Continue to bless each and every one of us. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. This morning, I would like to speak to you from a topic of growing true seeds. Growing true seeds. Now, it is not my job to tell you what the parable means. I think that as we read the parable, we just have to keep reading it over and over and over again, and we would understand exactly what God wants us to understand when it comes to that particular parable. But I would like to share some insight with you about the parable this morning of the growing seed. And I would like to tell you this morning what the parable offers. First and foremost, this particular parable offers encouragement. In Mark 4:26, and he said, the kingdom of God is as if a man should scatter seeds on the ground. So we are looking at encouragement. Encouragement to who? Why are we concerned about a seed that has been scattered? We are concerned about a seed that has been scattered because we are Christians. So this parable is offered to Christians. It's offered to believers. It's offered to us, anyone who believes. So as the parable starts out, it's pointing out to us about the seed. The seed is scattered. Why? Why is it important to know about a seed that has been scattered? Because the trials and tribulations and persecutions of life beats us down every day, and we need to be encouraged. See, every day we go through life just worrying about the things that will happen that hasn't even happened yet. We're worrying about our kids. Are they going to be okay? We worry about our parents. How are they going to make things work? We worry about this COVID that we're going through. Every day there's something on our mind that we worry about. So we need to be encouraged. We need the encouragement. And we need the encouragement because we as believers, because we are believers, it doesn't mean that we are immune from life trials and tribulations. You see, God didn't promise us that when we accept His Son, we were going to live a rosy life. He didn't promise us that nothing is going to happen in our lives. He didn't tell us that our children was going to get to a point where they didn't have issues. He didn't tell us that us as parents would disagree with some of the decisions that they make. He didn't promise none of that. He promised us that He would never leave us nor forsake us. That's what He promised us. But the trials and tribulations come daily so that we can become stronger. Those trials and tribulations are the things that keep us close to God, because we need Him, especially during those times. You see, if we didn't have trials and tribulations, we would be doing things on our own, fixing it on our own, solving it on our own. You won't need God. But we realize we can't do that. We can't fix it on our own. We need Him. There is a similar parable in Matthew 13. Actually, it is the same. Matthew 13, verse 24 to 30. And you can see in this particular parable, which is the same, what He says about some of those trials and tribulations that you go through. He put another parable before them. This is Matthew 13, verses 24 to 30. He put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sows good seeds in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grains, then the weeds appeared also. And the servant of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seeds in the field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then, do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No. Lest in gathering the weeds, you will root up the wheat along with them. Let them both grow together until the harvest. And at the harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them up in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat in my barn. This particular parable is quite striking because for some of us, it shows our daily life. You see, the seeds are sowed. You sow the seeds. The seed could be your kids, could be your brother, it could be your sister. The seeds are sowed. But somehow, you did your part. Somehow that seed has gotten away. They want to do their own thing. Maybe they're grown now. Maybe they're almost grown. Or maybe they just think they're grown. They want to do their own thing. And when that happens, your first inclination is, I need to get my child. I need to get this person out of trouble. But remember what the wise master said. He said, no. The prodigal son, his dad, could have gone and get him before he even took the job feeding swines. Nope. Because one of the things that we need to remember is that when we reap those weeds, when we pull those weeds up early, you have other weeds that's going to keep growing back. When you're going to get your child out of trouble, early before they learn their lesson, they're going to go right back to the things that they're accustomed to. Sometimes you have to let the weeds grow. You see, when the weeds grow, they get weak as they get older. The new weeds has no room. The old weed is still there. When they get older, it's easier for you to rip them up then. Our first inclination. The second thing that the parable offers is assurance. This parable that we are offering, that we are talking about, offers assurance. In Mark 4:27, he sleeps and rises night and day, and the seeds sprout and grow. He knows not how. See, isn't it good to know that God's reign is coming? Somebody is working. For the seed that was scattered to just grow without you having to take care of it through the whole process. It says, you sleep night and day. You sleep, you rise. You get up, you go to bed. You're not worrying about the seed, but somehow it grows. Well, even when we can't see it, because it appears small or unimportant, it is good to know that someone is working and that someone is God Himself. You see, when we have things that we care about, when we have people that we care about, when we have seeds that we sow, it's important for us to know what we have to do. It is your job to nurture that seed from small. It is your job to instill and tell them what God has done for them. It is your job at that point to plant that seed. Tell them what Jesus did for them at that point. Because when you lay down to sleep, when you go to bed, there's stuff going to be happening that you don't know anything about. But that seed is going to continue to grow. What you put in that seed matters. You see, Every seed is going to have an answer. There is a second coming. See, God promised us that His Son, Jesus Christ, He came the first time. And when He came, His work was unfinished. He was sacrificed, and then He went back to the Father. But He's coming again. He is coming again. So my question to you this morning is, how do you feel about a second coming? Is your house in order? Are you taking care of the seed? In Matthew 25, 31 through 46, this particular section, and this is a slide that I didn't put in, because we all are very familiar with this particular scripture. It is the scripture that speaks of the second coming. And it talks about the things that's going to happen. You see, when He comes for a second time, what's going to happen is He's going to separate the good from the bad. We know about that. See, but we as Christians think we know about the second coming. Guess who else knows about the second coming? The non-Christians. But you see, what happened when He comes? He's coming back to judge the world. And that's why He's going to separate you. Some are going to be on the right, some are going to be on the left. But even us as Christians, some of us are going to be marveled, because we're going to say, we don't understand what's going on. See, because in Matthew 25, 31 to 46, it tells us that Jesus, when he separates us, even we are not going to understand. See, actually, let's go to it. I think we have time. Okay, the final judgment. Okay. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne. That's the throne of David. That's when He comes. He's going to sit and He's going to judge the world. Okay. Before Him will be gathered all the nations, and He will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goat. And He will place the sheep on the right and the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on the right, remember, these are the Christians, these are the ones that truly believe. He says, come you who are blessed by My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. said, why? Because he said, I was hungry and you gave me a drink. He said, I was hungry and you fed me, you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you welcomed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and gave you a drink? And then when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visited you? And the king will answer them, truly, I say to you, as you did to one of the least of these, my brothers, you did to me. See, so here you may be saying to yourself, how does this tie into this parable of the growing seed? Oh, yes, it ties in. Because you are going to come across that seed. That seed may be hungry. That seed may be thirsty. That seed may need clothes. And what you decide at that time makes a difference in your life. See, we all got gifts. We all have talents. And we ought to use them for God's glory. But see, we are not the only ones. As believers, we are not the only one that doesn't catch the concept. Because the unbelievers ask the same question. In verse 41, then he will say to those on the left, says, depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you didn't feed me. You didn't give me food. I was thirsty, and you did not give me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me. Then they also ask the same question. Lord, when did we see you hungry, thirsty, a stranger, naked, sick, in prison, and did not minister to you? Then he answered them, saying, truly I say to you, as you did not and you did not do it to one of the least, you did not do it to me. See, so there's a lot of confusion on both sides. So you have an important role in making sure that this seed succeeds. See, he's not asking you to do it all on your own. He's just asking you to use the gift that he gave you. You don't have to go through the whole process. He knows that you're going to sleep. He knows that you're going to rise. And you're not going to be thinking about it. But when you come across that seed, you have to do your part. Because that's required of you. Okay? The third portion of the parable, and the final, is that this parable offers us hope. It offers us hope. And I know I don't have a sermon where we could jump and rejoice this morning, but it's one that's important. The parable offers hope In Mark 28:29, the earth produces by itself. First, the blade, then the ear, then the full grain in the ear. But when the grain is ripe, at once he puts it to the sickle, because the harvest has come. Why hope? It offers us hope in knowing that we're doing the right thing. We are fulfilling what he has called us to do. So we are doing the right thing. Whether it's watering it, whether it's putting clothes on it, whether it's protecting it from the element, whatever it is, we are protecting that seed that has been scattered. Or maybe we're the one that scattered the seed. Why would you scatter the seed? Because you can't do it by yourself. See, maybe that job of raising that child becomes overbearing. So you scatter the seed. Okay, I can't do it anymore. I have three of you. Here's another. Maybe my grandparents can help. Maybe your grandparents can raise you. Okay? Maybe my brother can take care of you. You scatter the seed. I don't know. Maybe that's your part. We have to find out what our part is in helping this seed succeed. Hope in what? It offers us hope. Hope in what? It offers us hope in the process. The process. Whether you sleep or you wake, the seed is going to grow. If you go and pull that seed out of the gang too early, because that's what the seed wants to do, it's going to go back. God is in charge. See, sometimes we get burdened down and we're worrying about our children. What are they going to do? What's going to happen to them? And we never stop and think what our children wants to do. We know what we want them to do. What do they want to do? Some of us, we hear every day and we wonder where, you know, our children are not here with us. And then we say, what did we do wrong? We didn't do anything wrong. You did your part. And just like the Bible says, you're going to lay down to sleep. And you're going to rise up. So we are offered hope in the process that everything is going to work. When we lay down to sleep, God is going to take care of the rest. He has been doing it all this time. His way of doing it is not my way. If it was up to me, I would go through everything and make sure that my children are guarded, are protected, are provided for from the time they were born until they die. If I were to do it my way, that's my way. Would that be the best thing for my child? Because that's what I want. What do they want? You think they still want me around when they're 20, 21, doing everything for them? What happens if I take their responsibility and then at some point I can't do it anymore? What's going to happen then? Well, Mom, you said you're going to do it. Well, Mom is going to pay it. Well, Mom isn't working anymore. When are you going to start working? See, so sometimes what we think is best for us is not what's best for them. We think we want the best for them. But the process has to take place. See, I truly believe that if that father of the prodigal son had gone and get him, and he didn't experience what it was like on the outside, if he didn't experience his friends taking advantage of him and having spent all his money, all of his inheritance the way it was, he would not have learned anything. He would have come back home, and then he would have taken his brother's inheritance, then he would have taken what's left for his dad, and guess who would have been eating the pig's food? See, sometimes the weeds that grow needs to grow. Every time somebody gets in trouble, our first inclination is we got to get them out. What does God say? We know what the Master said. He said, let it grow. Let the weeds grow. See, because when you root up the weeds, you risk rooting up the fruit. But as soon as you see that harvest, you start rejoicing, because that's what it's about. You know, when they come back home and they say, Mom, I've sinned against you and I've sinned against God. Mom, what you were telling me was right. I went and did it my way and it didn't work. I heard God's voice. Then you start rejoicing. Because you know it's harvest time. Because that's what it's about. You see, if we continually try to do it on our own, we're going to suffer. Because we can't. We're going to run ourselves in the ground. So my brothers and sisters, my message to you this morning is to continue to do your part. I realize that I can't grow true seeds by myself. I need your help. I'm going to do the best I can in the areas that I can. And I'm asking you to do the same. Because where I water, one of you are going to close. One of you are going to feed. But the increase is to God. Thank you, and may God continue to bless each and every one of you. Now, I know that this lesson pretty much went out to believers, which I do believe most of us here are. But if you're not certain, if you're on the fence, or if you're listening and you're not sure which side you're on, whether the left or the right, it's never too late. As long as you have breath in your body, you have the opportunity to make a decision on which side you want to be. So this morning, I would like to offer you the opportunity. If you would like to make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, I encourage you. Please stand if you make that decision this morning. If you're listening and you have decided that this is the time, I want to make sure that when Jesus returns that second time around and it's time for judgment, I want to be the one on the right. If you make that decision this morning, I want to encourage you, please contact us. Contact Pastor Kevin. You can contact us on Facebook. On Facebook, Faith Life, you know, there are so many ways, but you have the information. WNBCVA1@gmail.com. You can get a hold of us. And we will pray with you. We will encourage you in your walk. I want to thank you this morning for tuning in. I want to thank you for listening to us. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise this morning. We thank you, dear Lord, for the word that you have sent forth. May it penetrate our hearts and our minds this morning. We know, dear Father, that we are eager to please you, dear Father, and we just ask for your patience and for your guidance. We pray, dear Lord, that for every seed that we have come into contact with, dear Lord, we realize what it is you are calling us to do, what it is you would like us to contribute to that situation. We pray, dear Lord, that you don't make us enablers this morning. We pray that you would allow us to encourage anyone that has made a decision to dedicate their life to you. We pray that you'll continue to guide us, continue to bless us, dear Father. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.